It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congressional Republicans around the country are facing difficult questions and at times booing from constituents and protesters who show up at their town hall meetings back in their home districts.
Republican lawmakers in Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, and other states face confrontations with voters. Wisconsin was no exception. Here's part of U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald's town hall last week.
When will you stand up to them and say that is enough?
How can we be represented by you if you don't have a voice in Congress?
Wisconsin Republican Glenn Grothman faced similar questions in a recent town hall.
How significant is this pushback? Anthony Trigoski is Associate Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. Anthony, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, good morning, Rob. Thank you.
And Christina LaPlante is Assistant Professor of Political Science and Public Administration at UW-La Crosse. Christina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Anthony, let's start with you. How significant do you see these heated town hall confrontations we're seeing in the news from around the country?
Well, Rob, I think they could be significant. And these town hall confrontations make me think back about a decade and a half to 2009 and the Tea Party backlash to Barack Obama and Democratic majorities in Congress. Tea Party backlash, Tea Party protests during those town hall meetings in 2009, they in a way foreshadowed what would be a Republican wave in the 2010 midterm elections. They indicated some public concern about the Affordable Care Act and healthcare reform at that time. And I think we're seeing something pretty similar right now. Of course, we can't look in our crystal ball and know for sure what's going to happen in the 2026 midterm elections, but we do know that it's common for a party to face some type of backlash when they come into office, having full control over the majorities in Congress and the presidency. So I think these could be politically significant in creating a sense of where the political momentum is, creating a sense of where the political winds are blowing. We don't know exactly where all of this is heading, but we do know that Republicans, now that they are in control of Washington, are starting to face some political headwinds.
And Christina, you study, among other things, voter participation and political behavior. In both these cases, Tea Party 2009, you had Republicans feeling very much on the outside with the Democratic control of government. 2025, flip it around. Democrats don't see a voice in Congress for them. Can you talk about what motivates people to participate by protesting, as some people have in both those cases, and showing up at these town halls?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with my colleague Anthony here that what we're seeing now is very reminiscent of the Tea Party era, but also to a lesser degree, we're seeing some of the same energy that we saw during Trump's first term. You might recall people were very up in arms and out in protesting, you know, all of the Trump activities. The Muslim travel ban is one that comes to mind. And if you talk with, advocates and members of Congress during that time, they say that a major factor that influenced their votes and their opposition to these movements was largely driven by these protests. So we know that social movements do have the capacity to move elected officials on certain issues. I think one of the reasons that we're seeing voters really come out in droves to these town halls and make their voices heard directly in front of their representatives is because I don't think that there's a lot of agreement or consensus among Democratic leadership about how to go forward. And we saw this a lot in the primaries. Well, not necessarily the primaries, but when Harris was running against Trump, you know, there wasn't a lot of agreement on what that strategy should look like. Do we need to, campaign with Liz Cheney and try to bring Republicans in the fold who might be disaffected with Trump? What do we do with the progressive wing? So there's a lot of kind of disagreement about who exactly the Democrats need to be speaking to. And I think that's why we're seeing such animated protest happening right now among the electorate, because the leadership is kind of straggling behind.
Let's give another listen. We heard Representative Scott Fitzgerald's town hall. Now here's Representative Glenn Grothman, another Republican, at his event.
And I think across the board, he's done some very good things.
Republican Glenn Grothman was quoted in a piece by Politico, quote, "I think they were uninformed people, so I really kind of discount that." And Grothman said, "I think once you're informed, you realize we've got a lot of financial problems." Anthony, do you see this kind of public participation swinging a Republican? Not in the case of Representative Grothman in this case.
We have seen varied reactions from Republican members of Congress to these town hall meetings. Some, like Grothman, have indicated, as you noted, that he feels the town hall participants need to learn more, need to become more informed. Others have accused agitators or activists of trying to rile people up and maybe have suggested that these aren't so organic as they are orchestrated. But others have said that perhaps these town hall meetings indicate something real about concerns that voters have. We know that there have been town halls across the country where Republican members of Congress have come away saying that maybe they need to communicate better. Maybe they need to be more informed about what Doge and Elon Musk are doing. So, Rob, we've seen a wide range of reactions from the Republican Party to these protests.
Christina, does it matter if this is totally spontaneous or somewhat organized? Back in the Tea Party days, some people were spontaneously showing up. I booked guests on the show who were Republican operatives who were organizing some of these events. It's never just one or the other, is it?
Well, no, and I think what really elected officials need to be paying attention to here is where the numbers are and really paying close attention to the public opinion estimates. We know that it's overwhelmingly popular among Democrats and Republicans that they want some type of, you know, congressional or executive action to cut and reduce wasteful government spending. Over 60%, over 70% of, you know, Democrats and Republicans respectively feel this way. But when we look at the method by which we make these cuts, that's where the numbers start to break down. You know, I think a public opinion poll last week or maybe 2 weeks ago shows that only 6% of Democrats approve of the way that Musk is handling his position with Doge compared to 70% of Republicans, right? There's obviously some partisan division there. There's a lot of polarization. But when we drill down more specifically and we ask voters, well, you know, do you approve of, you know, Musk shutting down government offices that, you know, he deems as unnecessary? There's a lot of breakdown there because the point boils down to the fact that Elon Musk is not an elected official. So how do we hold him accountable? And that's where the numbers really start to break down. And elected officials need to be paying closer attention to that.
And Doge and Elon Musk came up in the pushback here in Wisconsin and elsewhere at these town halls. Here's some of Representative Scott Fitzgerald's response to that.
I certainly have never been briefed about Doge. And with the probationary moves that have already been done, they're going to have to be scrutinized at some point.
Anthony, Christina was just mentioning public opinion on Doge and Elon Musk. Some Republicans in Congress may be having some question marks. Do you see any effective efforts from congressional Republicans, though, to rein in what's happening with Doge?
Well, that is the big question. At what point will Republican congressional majorities start to push back and start to maybe try to reclaim that key power of the purse, that key power over budgeting that really has the potential of making Congress a powerful branch, a force to be reckoned with? But of course, Congress has to actively use its constitutional powers in order to have that prominent role within the political system. So I think it remains to be seen just when and to what extent Republicans are going to push back against Elon Musk and Doge. They're hearing it from their constituents, as we've seen in these town hall meetings. At the same time, President Trump seems firmly behind Elon Musk. And we know that party loyalty to the president is a major factor in congressional politics these days.
Talking to Anthony Trigosky and Christina LaPlante, UW La Crosse political scientist. Christina, one thing Republicans in Congress have got to be watching is this historically tight majority that they have. Been a long time since we've seen anything this close in Congress, flipping, what, three seats, I think, next year, and that would flip control from Democrats to Republicans. How much do you think that weighs on their minds?
Well, I think everybody's got their eyes on the midterms for sure, Republicans and Democrats alike. And like I said, it's you know, how both of these parties deal with the animosity and the rage that we see among the electorate, especially I think Doge makes up a significant portion of that. So how they react in these critical moments is, I think, going to play a really big role in what happens in the midterms.
Another interesting thing, Anthony, in polling, opinions of Democrats in Congress very low, driven in part by Democratic supporters saying worried that they're not doing enough in their mind to push back against the new Trump administration. How much of a worry is that for Democrats hoping to take back part of Congress next year?
I think it's a bit of a worry, but I also think Democrats can bank on the typical backlash to the party in power that happens in a midterm election. And Rob, I do think there is a bit of a parallel here, as we talked about, between the Tea Party protests of 2009 and the protests today. In 2009, Republicans were just as disgusted with their leaders in Congress as Democrats are today, but it didn't hurt them in the 2010 midterm elections because Republican leaders in Congress were able to ride that backlash to the Obama administration. And so it's pretty typical right now, after a crushing defeat in November, that Democratic members in the electorate would not be all that enthusiastic about the leadership of their party. But we need to see how those attitudes might evolve as the congressional session goes on, and the extent to which it even matters if Democratic voters aren't terribly fond of their leaders, if, you know, maybe that isn't a decisive factor in the midterm elections, and that Democrats could perhaps just ride that typical backlash.
Christina, Anthony mentioned none of us has a crystal ball, but what are you watching for to see how this develops, these protests, these town hall confrontations, things like that, to see whether, hey, this is a flash in the pan for a week or two, or something that evolves into something bigger?
For sure. The biggest thing that I'm looking for is for the Democratic leadership to develop its own version of its Project 2025. I think that that was one of the biggest reasons why we didn't see Democratic turnout as high as we should have in 2024, because a lot of Democrats, even Harris to a certain degree, were campaigning on this idea that we've got to stop Project 2025. And while that was important for a lot of voters, it didn't contain enough information for, you know, people who might have been on the fence to turn out and vote, because they didn't know what they were voting for. All they knew is that they were voting to stop somebody else's plan. So I think we need Democrats to streamline an agenda, to come up with talking points that they can message to their voters and, you know, to their base and independents, and get them out to vote. I think one of the biggest missteps coming out of Democratic leadership earlier this month was when House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries had used that baseball analogy to
And we have to leave it there. Thanks to our guests, Christina LaPlante and Anthony Trigosky, political scientists at UW-La Crosse.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, the leader of the Midwest Climate Hub talks about her termination and the setbacks in research and conservation.
By eliminating public servant positions, we're really putting ourselves at risk of losing valuable work, valuable jobs.
Downsizing the federal workforce and impacts on Wisconsin? That conversation is next on WPR News.